This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salat, salam, ala rasulullah, ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man wala, thumma amma ba'a, to proceed. So today, inshallah, we will have two chapters in fiqh. And next time as well, it will be two fiqh chapters. It will be Bab al-Hibba, the chapter on gifts, and Bab Atiyat al-Marid, the chapter on the gift of the terminally ill. So those are two separate chapters. The reason why we're doing fiqh in the two sessions is we wanted to catch up and finish the fiqh of financial transactions before Ramadan starts, so that when we come back from Ramadan, inshallah, we'll start the fiqh of inheritance. So today there will be no tazkiyah session. Inshallah, two fiqh sessions. The first one will be on shufa, or the right of preemption, and the second one will be on al-waqf, or endowments. So the first is on al-shufa. Imam Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, in his book Al-Umda, said about al-shufa, باب الشفعة وهي استحقاق الإنسان انتزاع حصة شريكه من يد مشتريها وهي استحقاق الإنسان انتزاع حصة شريكه من يد مشتريها. It is one's right, and I wrote here as an explanation due to one's status as a neighbor or co-owner of a property. So it's one's right to take possession of the share of one's co-owner from someone who has bought it. That is the definition. But for clarification, I wrote one's right due to one's status as a neighbor or co-owner of a property to take possession by purchasing the share of one's co-owner from someone who has bought it. So basically, you need to be a co-owner. In the Hanbali Madhab, and according to the majority, aside from Imam Abu Hanifa, which we'll come back and discuss it later, whether or not you are a neighbor, you need to be a co-owner. For Imam Abu Hanifa, even if you are not a co-owner, but you're just a neighbor, you are entitled to preemption, to preempt the sale. When your partner, if you co-own a property, and this applies only to real estate, applies only to real estate. So when you co-own a property, we co-own this property, we did not yet divide it. We have not yet divided it. You understand? So we co-own the whole property. So we have an interest in each and every inch of the property, a shared interest in each and every inch of the property. We have not yet divided the property. If that is the case, so it is musha', you know, it's a common property that we co-own. So if that is the case, and you sell your share of the property to someone else, a third party, I have the right to preempt that sale, but I will then have to purchase your share at what price? The offered price by the purchaser, by the buyer. So if you sell your property to another buyer, and that other buyer offers you money, you know, offers you like a price, then I, as your co-owner, am entitled to preempting that transaction and taking that property. And in this case, it's automatic. I have that right automatically. So once I ask for it, it's mine. It is mine for the price that you sold it for. And we will come back and say later if I have the ability to basically come up with that price within 3 days, or, you know, in the Hanbali Madhab, we could say within a reasonable period determined by the judge. But that's what Shufa is about. So according to the Hanbali Madhab. And we will come back and talk about how Imam Abu Hanifa extended this to every neighbor whether or not the neighbor co-owns anything with you, as long as you have shared borders. Like, this is your property and this is my property. This is mine and this is yours. And because you sell your property, Imam Abu Hanifa will give you the right of preemption as well. The Jumhur, the majority, will not give you that right because we do not co-own anything. You know. And we'll talk about it. So there are two ahadith. Let me just put the ahadith down because they are umdat al-bab, or sort of the reliance of the in this chapter is on those two ahadith. The reliance of the chapter is on those two ahadith. One of them is hadith Abu Rafi'. And Abu Rafi', as al-Bukhari said, or al-Bukhari reported, Abu Rafi' said that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-jaru ahaqqu bi-saqabi." And there are variations, and there are other reports in other books from other than Abu Rafi', Anas, and others, but this is the one that is authentic, highly authentic. Al-jaru ahaqqu bi-saqabi. Al-jar is what? The neighbor. The neighbor. And a haqq is means what? More entitled. Bisaqa bihi means what? More entitled to the... Saqab is whatever is adjacent, close, you know, his proximity, what is adjacent to him. And according to the Hanafis, which is not an incompatible, linguistically incompatible translation, it means anyone who shares with you a border. That is saqabihi is, because saqabihi means that which is adjacent to him. So if anyone shares a border with you, then it will apply to them. So bisaqabihi, entitled to that which is next to him or adjacent to him or her. So you know, himan is genderless in Arabic, right? So we could say him and stop, but just to be more politically correct, I guess. Or maybe it's not in English, but in general, you know, the pronouns, the male pronouns are male and genderless pronouns. So when you speak about the angels, you know, you use the male pronouns, not because the angels are men, because they are genderless, but because the male pronouns are male and genderless. That is why, by agreement, if you use the plural male pronoun, that would include also the females. When you use the plural female pronoun, that would not include the males. But anyway, so al-jar ahaq bisaqa bihi means here the neighbor is more entitled to that which is adjacent to him or her, reported by Bukhari from Abu Rafi'. You have the other hadith here, which is also very important in this bab or this chapter, which is the hadith of Jabir, where he said, radiallahu anhu, qada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بالشفعه فيما لم يقسم فاذا وقعت الحدود وصرفت الطرق فلا شفعه. أو صرفت. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qada means decreed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bishufa, decreed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that shufa is binding. That preemption is binding. Fima lam yuqsam, regarding that which has not been divided. Divided. So not divided. فَإِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْحُدُودِ, meaning that if the borders have been outlined and the borders and the roads have been outlined, then there is no shafa, there is no preemption. Meaning, if I co-own, like let us say we have Rahba, or we have Fina, we have like a backyard that we co-own. You and I co-own this backyard. This is your house, this is my house, and this is our backyard. Our backyard. We co-own this backyard. We have not divided it yet. I own half of it, you own half of it, right? Once we put the border here in the middle, I have no right of preemption. I'm not entitled to preemption because the border has been put, you know, this is mine, this is yours. I have no right of preemption. According to Malik, Shafi'i, and Ahmad. According to Abu Hanifa, no, I still have the right of preemption. Why? I am your neighbor. We share a border together. So while Imam Abu Hanifa is saying that, he's saying Abu Rafa said, "Al-jar wa haqqu bi saqabi." Abu Rafa said that the Prophet ﷺ said, the neighbor is more entitled to that which is adjacent to him or her. Why are the majority saying otherwise? They're saying that Jabir said that the Prophet ﷺ decreed that shufa is binding only regarding that which has not been divided. Once the borders and the roads have been outlined, then there is no preemption. There is no right of preemption. Someone may say, and let's just get this out of the way because it is important, before we proceed. Someone may say, how do you reconcile? It's very hard to reconcile. There appears to be some contradiction between the two. So the majority said there is no contradiction. It is very possible that this neighbor is also a co-owner. Isn't it possible? So this hadith explains that the neighbor that is meant in this hadith is a co-owner. Is not only a neighbor, but also a co-owner. They share the backyard and they have not yet divided it. Okay, so what would the Imam Abu Hanifa say in this regard? He is saying, no, not really, but this is quite clear about the neighbor, the right of the neighbor. And you could say that this is not a neighbor. This is a co-owner, but not a neighbor, you know. So if I co-own a property with you, but we have, you know, like I, you know, somehow it has been divided, but there is no... I think that the Hanafis didn't go that far to explain this hadith. They favor the hadith Abu Rafa over this hadith. I think that the Hanafis' explanation is by favoring the hadith of Abu Rafa over this hadith, which is al-jar ahaqqa bisaqabihi. They felt that it is clear enough to give the neighbor the right. They also used a rational argument, which is that, you know, if you are going to bring someone like new to me, like a new person, I am more entitled than that new person, because that new person may cause me disturbance, may not be like a good neighbor. If I came and purchased this property and I know the neighbors around me, 1, 2, 3, 4, adjacent to me on four sides, and now you are bringing in a new one that is, I should have the right of preemption. The Hanafis are saying I should have the right of preemption because the property, the value of the property is to some extent dependent on the neighbors. If you have like an annoying neighbor, you know, that could really ruin your sort of mood. So that is the disagreement. That's the biggest disagreement in this chapter between the majority on one side and the Hanafis on the other side. Then, so we do understand this, right? Everybody understands where this is coming from? Okay. And then he will start to talk about the conditions. So that's the definition, and we have like a pretty good idea about where, you know, what it means, what shofa means, preemption means in this case. And then he'll start to talk about the conditions. He says, وَلَا تَجِبُ إِلَّا بِشُرُوطٍ سَبْعَةٍ أَحَدُهَا الْبَيْعِ فَلَا تَجِبُ فِي مَوْهُوبٍ وَلَا مَوْقُوفٍ وَلَا عِوَضِ خُلْعٍ وَلَا صَدَاقٍ. It's only binding when the following seven conditions are fulfilled. The first that he will mention, it must be a case of selling. Preemption is not binding in the case of gifts, donations, endowments, khula, and wedding gifts. Okay, so how is ownership transferred from X to Y or from Y to X? Ownership could be transferred from Y to X through sale, but it could also be transferred through inheritance, gifts, endowment, the donation, khola, or compensation for khola. You know, a woman would give like her husband compensation for khola, or a man would give his wife a dowry or a sadaq. That is, so he would can give her part of the property that he co-owns as a dowry. So whenever you study fiqh, what you need to do first is understand the two ends of the spectrum that are agreed upon, because there will usually be two ends that are agreed upon and a middle that is controversial. Two ends that are agreed upon and a middle that is controversial. By consensus, if the ownership is transferred through inheritance, no one has the right of preemption. Because inheritance, it is sort of like a natural transmission of ownership. They don't consider this to be a transaction that you can preempt. There is no transaction here to be preempted. If my share of the property is passed on to my heirs because of my death, no one has the right to preempt this and take it from them. And keep in mind, preemption does not mean that you'll take it for free. It means that you'll take it at the price, the offered price in a purchase. By consensus, on the other end of the spectrum, by consensus, if the transfer of ownership happens through sale, by consensus, I have the right of preemption if I'm co-owner. I have the right of preemption or shufa if I am a co-owner. And according to the Hanafis, also if I am a neighbor. Not a co-owner, but a neighbor who shares the borders with the seller. So what is controversial in the middle is when transfer of ownership takes place by one of those endowments, donations, sadaq, khula, and so on. Do I have the right of preemption? If you give your wife the part of the property that you co-own, your share of the property that you co-own with me, you give it to your wife as a sadaq, can I preempt this? Can I say, no, I do not want your wife as my partner? You were my partner. I did not agree to your wife being my partner. Or if you are the wife and you gave your husband that sort of your share of the property, do I have the right to tell her, no, I, you know, or tell you as the husband now, your wife gave you this, and I don't really want to be co-owner with you. That is where they disagree. According to the Hanbali madhab, no, I don't have that right. The Malikis and Shafi'is said that I do have that right. The Malikis went even to say that rental property also, I have the right of preemption rental property, which is against the majority, the Hanafis, and Malik, the Shafi'is, and Hanbalis. But they expanded the right of preemption to different transactions and different scenarios. So just remember, inheritance, no preemption. Sale, there is preemption. Any transfer of ownership other than this, controversial. The Hanbalis said, no, you cannot preempt. So only sale for the Hanbalis that can be preempted, which will result in people trying to do what, like, pretend that it's not a sale, it's like a gift and things of that nature, and then you'll have to investigate, and once it is proven, then you will give the right of preemption to the person. Now, if it was not a sale, and it was basically compensation for khula. So she gave her husband to this property, or let's say sadaq, let's be like happier, say sadaq. It was like a sadaq or a dowry. So he gave his wife this share of the property as a sadaq. Then I want to preempt it. Let's say I can preempt it. Hanbali is saying you cannot preempt it. Let's say I can preempt it. How do I preempt it? Like, because in sale, how do you preempt it? Whatever price that was offered, I take it for that price. But how do we determine that there was no price? This was compensation. This is like a wedding gift. There is no price here. So how do you determine? Market value. Market value is the market value of that my share in the property. Okay. Then the sheikh said, so the first condition is that it is a sale. Now the transfer of ownership happens via sale. The second, he said, الثاني أن يكون عقارا أو ما يتصل به من البناء والغراس. الثاني أن يكون عقارا أو ما يتصل به من البناء والغراس. It should be real estate or the attached buildings or plants. Attached building or plants. تبعا لا أصلا. So attached building or plants as a secondary commodity, not a primary commodity. Only if you're buying the land, then you'll have the right to the building or the plants or, you know, the trees on... actually, plants is not the best translation here. It should be trees. Viras is... trees are plants, right? But also plants would include crops, right? Yeah, so you want to exclude the ghiras is only about trees, you know. Because plants will be harvested in one season. Anyway, so just change this. And instead of plants, say trees. Or maybe I explained it in the footnote. Anyway, so يكون عقارا أو ما يتصل به من البناء والغراس. It should be real estate or the attached buildings or trees. That is so. If we co-own a horse, can I preempt you? No. If we co-own anything, you know, other than that, if we co-own livestock, can I preempt your sale? No. So why is it real estate? Because the stakes are high in real estate. But if we co-own any other property, you just, like, if you don't like, you know, the new partner, just sell it. Real estate is a little bit different, and the stakes are high. When you get, like, a co-owner of real estate, it's different from getting a co-owner in, like, a sort of a mobile property, not real estate, like a car or a horse or something. And certainly they're saying this because, you know, whenever the Prophet ﷺ talked about Shafa, it was always about real estate, whether it's Hadith Abu Rafa, it's Hadith Jabir, it's about things that are, you know, a real estate. Then the third condition here for preemption to be binding, he said, أَنْ يَكُونَ شِقْصًا مُشَاعًا فَأَمَّا الْمَقْسُومُ الْمَحْدُودُ فَلَا شُفْعَةَ فِيهِ لقول جابر رضي الله عنه قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالشفعة في كل ما لم يقسم فإذا وقعت الحدود وصرفت الطرق فلا شفعة. It should be a common property and not divided one with well-defined borders. According to Jabir's narration, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has decreed that preemption is valid in all cases where the real estate concerned has not been divided. But if the boundaries are established and the roads are made, then there is no preemption, which is what I explained before. And we said that the Hanafis did not go by this. They went by the apparent implications of Hadith Abu Rafa, which is that every neighbor is entitled to preemption. الرابع, the fourth, أن يكون مما ينقسم فأما ما لا ينقسم فلا شفعة فيه. It should be divisible. Preemption does not apply to what is indivisible. Indivisible, divisible, indivisible. What is indivisible? Indivisible is when we have when we co-own an alley that is indivisible, too narrow to be divided. When we co-own a well that is too small to be divided, or any property that is too small to be divided. You know, we own like a bathroom. For instance, co-own a bathroom. And, you know one of those bathrooms like that are extremely small, so there is only room for one person to sit. How do we divide this? You know, you just can't divide this. So if it is something that cannot be divided, then the Hanbalis are saying no preemption. Not only the Hanbalis, the Malikis and Shafi'is are agreeing with, the Malikis and Shafi'is, that there is no preemption. The Hanafis said there is preemption. The Hanafis said it makes even more sense to give them the right of preemption here, because you're getting him a co-owner that he cannot run away from, because you can't really divide it. So. And some of the Hanbalis agreed with the Hanafis, and some of the Malikis and Shafi'is as well agreed with the Hanafis in this regard. So if you talk about the authorized position in the three Mazahib, Maliki, Shafi'i, and Hanbali, they say if it is indivisible, there is no preemption. There is no preemption. Why are they saying this? They're saying if it is indivisible, then I have no way of setting it. If it is indivisible, I have no way of setting it. So, why? Because, like, if in order for me to sell it without preemption, I have to divide it first. I have to divide it first. And if it is indivisible, I cannot divide it and sell it. So I'll be stuck co-owning this property with you. I want to sell it. I want out of this, you know, ownership. And if you have the right of preemption, all buyers will be intimidated by your right of preemption, because they know that, you know, whatever they'll offer, you will get to take it. So I'm not going to get buyers and I'll be stuck. The Hanafi said no, that you still could sell it to the co-owner. You know, the co-owner. If the co-owner is interested and he wants to actually apply that preemption, he will take it from you. And being that it is indivisible, then the harm that will be caused by you selling it to the owner, to the co-owner, is greater than the case of divisible property. So it seems that the Hanafi position here is a little bit stronger, because if it is indivisible, really, you should have the right of preemption. If you co-own a bathroom with someone, or an alley with someone, or a dead-end street with someone, or a well with someone, having the right of preemption here is important, so that you could have the whole property, that indivisible property, to yourself. Then, الخامس أن يأخذ الشخص كله فإن طلب أخذ بعضه بطلت الشفعة أو بطلت شفعته ولو كان له شفيعان فالشفعة بينهما على قدر سهامهما وإن ترك أحدهما شفعته لم يكن للآخر إلا أخذ الكل أو الترك. The one wishing to preempt must take the whole property being sold. If he or she asks for only a part of the right, a part of it, the right of preemption becomes invalid. When there are two preemptors, the right of preemption is proportionate to their shares. If one person gives up his or her right, the other has to either take the whole property being sold or leave it. Okay, so I want to sell this backyard. I want to sell my share in the backyard. You know, we said that Hanbali said that the backyard has not been divided. In order for Shafa to apply, the backyard is not divided. So I want to share my, I want to sell my share in the backyard. So you cannot, as my neighbor, come and say, I will buy half of your share. I will preempt the sale in half. So this is, let's say I own half of it, you own half of it, but there is no border. But I own half of it. You cannot say, I will take one quarter so that I have three quarters, and I will leave the other quarter for the buyer. No. You either buy the whole, my entire share that I'm selling. If I'm selling it in one contract, you can only buy the entire share that I am selling or leave it. You know, give up your preemption right. You just can't buy a piece. You can't be entitled to a piece. Why? Because you will ruin my sale. Because not everyone will be interested in that one quarter. In that one quarter. Now, if there are two preemptors, like let us say there is another neighbor here, and that neighbor owns one third, that neighbor owns one third, that neighbor owns one third, but there are no borders. Each one of them owns one third musha'a, which is like, you know, just like a share that's dispersed in the entire property. So then I want to sell my one third. He is entitled to half of my third. He is entitled to half of my third. They can preempt. But if one of them says, I don't want it, the other one has to do what? Buy my entire share. He cannot say, I'm entitled to half of your share. No, that doesn't work. You know, I want to sell my entire share of the property. You either buy it or not. Now, let us say there are 10 co-owners. 10 co-owners. 9 of them said, we don't want to preempt. You know, we don't want to buy. And one of them said, I want. That one has to buy everything or leave it. He can't say, I only want to preempt one-tenth I only want one-tenth of the property that you're selling because that is I'm entitled to preemption in one-tenth. I want that entitlement. I want to preempt the sale of one-tenth and take that one-tenth of the property. And the property could be huge. You know, it doesn't have to be a backyard. It could be huge, but we co-own it together. The idea here is you either take it all or leave it all. Here, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to not be unfair to the seller who wants to sell their property. Because if you ruin part of my transaction, then I am just going to be lost. Because not everyone would be interested in part of it. And I also have an interest in selling the whole thing, you know, in one piece and getting all of my money and just like, you know, instead of selling it, you know, in retail. So that's important here. I have to take it all or leave it all. السادس إمكان أداء الثمن فإن عجز عنه أو عن بعضه بطلت شفعته وإذا كان الثمن مثليا فعليه مثله وإن لم يكن مثليا فعليه قيمته وإن اختلف في قدره ولا بينة لهما فالقول قول المشتري مع يمينه. The preemptor must be capable of paying the price. The right of preemption is dropped if he or she cannot pay the entire price. If the price is fungible, he or she has to pay the equivalent, but if it is not, then he or she has to pay its value. If they dispute over the price and none of them can provide evidence, then the final word is that of the buyer who must take an oath. Okay, so 3 points here. One is you have to come up with the price immediately. Immediately means within a reasonable period of time, but you cannot say, you know, I will pay over the next 6 months, for instance. Because I got a buyer, when can you say this? If the original buyer took it for a deferred payment, then the whole deal will be transferred to you. The whole deal would be transferred to you. But if the original buyer took it for cash price, then you need to come up with the cash. And the judge will give you a reasonable period of time to collect the cash. The Hanbali said 3 days. Because it has to be immediate. It has to be immediate. And also, anyway, we'll come back to it. So is that clear? It has to be immediate. You have to come up with a price. But if the original deal was deferred, then you get to enjoy that. You know, you get the right to that. The second point is mithli by mithli and qimi by its qima. Fungibles. If you sold your real estate for 300,000 dinars, or you sold your real estate for, we're fine, Sheikh Muhammad. You just stay here. No, we're fine. It's okay. If you sold, so mithli by mithli, qimi by qimi, meaning, if you sold it for, you know what fungibles means? Substitutable prices. Things that can be substituted by their exact like. What can be substituted by their exact like? You know, currency and things that are measured by weight and volume. So you sold your thing for like 2 tons of wheat. Substitutable or not? Substitutable. 2 tons of the same brand of wheat. Substitutable. But you sold your property for a horse, for a piece of furniture, substitutable or not? Not substitutable, because horses vary greatly in value. Pieces of furniture vary greatly in value. So then in this case, it will have to be the value. Now, if we disagree over the value, or we disagree over the price. We disagree over the value or the price, then who should be believed in this case? The preemptor or the buyer? Keep in mind that the preemptor is not dealing with the seller anymore. The preemptor is dealing with the buyer. The preemptor will go to the buyer and tell him, you took that property for this money. Here is your money, and this property is mine because I co-own it with the seller who sold to you. So I disagree now, the preemptor and the buyer disagree over the price. Whose word will be final? The buyer, not the preemptor. Because he's the one who is involved in the transaction. We should believe him. Unless the preemptor has bayina, evidence, we will take the evidence of the preemptor then. But if the preemptor does not have evidence that the price was less or was lower, then we will believe the buyer. If they disagree over the value of the qimi, that thing, the non-fungible, that the property was sold for, who do we listen to? The buyer still, not the preemptor, unless there is evidence. Then if the buyer said, I don't remember the price, because can it happen? We will come the next point to, the preemption can happen years later sometimes, but in certain cases. But if the buyer said, I don't remember the price, what do we do in this case? We market value. Market value of what? Of the original property that was sold, that is being preempted, of the very original property. Because if we know what it was sold for, we're not talking about the market value of the property itself. We're talking about the market value of the price. So you sold half, one-third of the backyard for a horse. The preemptor will not pay the buyer the value of the one-third. The preemptor will pay the buyer the value of the horse, because that is the price that was offered. But if we forget, then it will go back all the way, not to the value of the price that was offered, because we forget that price, but it will go back all the way to the value of the one-third of the property. Then, okay, so the seventh condition here, the Sheikh said, السابق المطالبة بها على الفور ساعة يعلم. The preemptor must, the seventh condition for preemption to be binding, the preemptor must claim his or her right of preemption as soon as he or she is aware of the sale of the property. فَإِنْ أَخَّرَهَا بَطَلَتْ شُفَعَتُهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ عَاجِزًا عَنْهَا. Otherwise, the preemption is void. And إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ عَاجِزًا عَنْهَا لِغَيْبَةٍ أَوْ حَبْسٍ أَوْ مَرَضٍ أَوْ صِغَرٍ فَيَكُونَ عَلَى شُفَعَتِهِ مَتَى قَدَرَ عَلَيْهَا. An exception is when the preemptor is incapable of claiming this right due to traveling, imprisonment, illness, or young age. In these cases, the preemptor is entitled to the right to preemption once he or she can claim it. Once he or she can claim it. But would that not be unfair to the buyer and the seller? It would be unfair to the buyer, if they can claim it at any time. But we're also saying that this imprisonment is not any kind of imprisonment. It's unjustly imprisoned. He's young, he's unjustly imprisoned, he's absent. But if we allow the seller to sell when he's absent, then the seller would wait until his co-owner goes out on a trip or something, goes away, and then sell quickly and just, So we do want to preserve the right of the co-owner also in preemption. So they are saying that they would have the right, if they are absent, unjustly imprisoned, or young, to encourage the seller to do what? Reach out to their partner and tell them, you know, I'm going to buy this. I got this price for it. Are you interested? I'm going to buy this. I got this price for it. Are you interested? So that would be the point to hear. But when it comes to the young person, that's a little bit more complicated. And keep in mind, let's first finish this part. If they are imprisoned or absent, but they can have a witness, they have become aware of the sale, إِلَّا أَنَّهُ إِنْ أَمْكَنَهُ الْإِشْهَادَ عَلَى الطَّلَبْ بِهَا فَلَمْ يُشْهِدْ بَطَلَتْ شُفْعَتُهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمْ حَتَّى تَبَايَعَ ذَلِكَ ثَلَاثَ أَوْ أَكْثَرَ فَلَهُ الْمُطَالَبَةُ مَنْ شَاءَ مِنْهُمْ فَإِنْ أَخَذَ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِ رَجَعَ عَلَيْهِ الثَّانِي بِمَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ وَالثَّانِي عَلَى الثَّالِثِ وَالثَّالِثُ عَلَى الثَّانِي. So he says, however, if the preemptor can call on someone to witness the request of preemption, but does not, his or her preemption is annulled. So you are absent, or you are unjustly imprisoned. You've heard of the sale. What you need to do, once you've heard of the sale, if there is anyone around you that you could tell them, you know what? Certainly, at the time, their communications were difficult, so that's why they're making all of those arrangements. So you are in a different town. Someone, you could grab someone and tell them, my co-owner sold his share of the property that we co-own. Be my witness that I claim the right to preemption. You know, I demand preemption. In this case, later when he comes back, he can say to the judge, I have a witness that I wanted the right of preemption as soon as I heard of the sale. As soon as I heard of the sale. If you had the ability to have a witness, but you did not, you know, do it, you did not have someone witness your desire to preempt the sale, you lose your right to preemption. You lose your right to preemption. So if you are present in town, you have to go right away and ask for a right of preemption. They say, you know, if it is late at night, you can wait until the morning. But they report a hadith that is not really authentically traceable to the Prophet. As-shafa'atu kahal al-aqal. Shafa'a is like the undoing of the rope, you know, al-aqal. So the undoing of the rope. So once you did not demand it immediately, you lose it. So you could wait. They say if you have to use the bathroom, you could use the bathroom. They give such examples. If it is late in the night, you can wait until the morning. But that's it. You have to ask for it immediately. If you are absent or unjustly imprisoned, and you have someone nearby to be your witness, you have to tell them, I want. Yes?
Just to clarify, if the person is not present, let's say, as you said, he's in jail. However, wouldn't the all the condition for like the payment and the price and the values at that time applies immediately?
He will be entitled now. Now he did not demand it, you know. So the sale went through. The new buyer is already has the ownership. When he comes back or gets out of prison, he will go to the judge and say, 4 years ago, my co-partner, my co-owner, or my partner, sold his share of the property. I was in prison, unjustly imprisoned. And I asked, you know, Hassan to be my witness that I want to preempt this. Here is Hassan. Then the judge will say to the new buyer who's been here for 4 years, he's owned this for 4 years, rightfully owned it, lawfully owned it for 4 years. He will tell him he is entitled to preemption. And then he can take the property from the buyer. But then all conditions will apply right now. He has to have the cash. and he has to take all of the property, not part of it. All of the other conditions will apply right now. If he did not get someone to witness his desire of preemption, he loses the right to preemption. Unless there was no one around him to witness, then he will still have the right of preemption. Now, if he was a young boy, like a young boy who inherited a share of a co-owned property from his father or mother or somebody, that or a young girl, then they have a guardian to look after their interest, right? The guardian did not ask for preemption. The young boy or girl who co-owned this property, their partner sold their share. The boy or girl are little. They didn't ask for preemption. Their guardian did not ask for preemption. Are they entitled, after they reach adulthood, to go back and say, we have the right to preemption 12 years later? They are entitled. But there is a little bit of disagreement here about the extent of their entitlement and when they are entitled. If their guardian did not want to preempt the sale of the co-owner because the sale is not in the best interest of the child, then the sale, okay, so the sale in the interest, this was the sale in the interest of the child or not? Yes, no. If the sale was not in the interest of the child, if the preemption, like possessing that share of the property, was in the interest of the child, in the interest, but the guardian failed to act, immediately and promptly, or failed to preempt, then who will give him the right of preemption? The child, when the child grows up, the Malikis, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis will give him the right of preemption if it was in his best interest. Claiming preemption of the sale and possessing that share of the property was not in the best interest of the child, and the guardian acted appropriately, who will give the child the right of preemption? Hanbalis only. So Hanbalis will give the child the right to preemption even if it was not in his best interest when he grows up. They consider this to be his right to preemption. Whether taking possession of that share of the property was in his interest or not in his interest, at the offered price, they consider this to be his right. So they'll give it to the child when the child grows up, regardless of whether or not it was in his best interest. If it was in his best interest, the Malikis, if it was in his best interest, but the guardian did not act appropriately, the Malikis, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis will give him the right. Why are the Hanafis absent from here? Because the Hanafis would not give him the right of preemption anyway, because they're saying that his guardian was in his place. So if his guardian failed to act, it is his guardian's fault, not the seller's fault or the buyer's fault. So they will not give him the right of preemption when he grows up, whether or not it was in his best interest. The Hanbalis will give him the right of preemption when he grows up, whether or not it was in his best interest. The Malikis and Shafi'is will only give him the right of preemption if preemption was in his best interest.
What would be the price, Sheikh? Yeah. Would it be the original price? Or
the original price.
Wow. So
yes.
After 14 years, you'd still get the original price.
Yes, it is the original price.
What if things happened during that time and the property was developed or the price went up?
It's coming. Yes, it's coming. So, then he said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمْ حَتَّى تَبَايَعَ ذَلِكَ ثَلَاثَةً أَوْ أَكْثَرْ فَلَهُ مُطَالَبَةً مَنْ شَاءَ مِنْهُمْ فَإِنْ أَخَذَ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِ رَجَعَ عَلَيْهِ الثَّانِي بِمَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ وَالثَّالِثَ عَلَى الثَّانِي. Even if the preemptor is unaware of the selling, until three or more sell it to one another in succession, he or she has the right to demand it from any one of them. If the preemptor requests it from the first, the second would then claim from the first what has been taken from him or her, and similarly the third would claim from the second. So the transfer of ownership, so X gave it to Y, Y gave it to Z, Z gave it to whatever. What's after Z? There is nothing. A, to go back. So the transfer, so the preemptor can come and say, you know, I want it for this price that Y bought it for. Or I want it for this price. Or I want it for this price. He has the right to choose which deal he will take. Then if he did this, then they have to figure out among themselves. Everyone who bought the property from the previous one has to go back and take you know, whatever he paid them or she paid them. But he is entitled to basically preempting any transaction in the series. He will have to say, you know, because why is this? Why is this? Because he is entitled to preemption. Let us say he co-owns the property. He is entitled to preemption. Let us say X bought it to Y, and he didn't know. Had he known, would it have been his right to allow the sale? Yes. So let us say he allowed it all the way up to here. But he did not know from here to, he has not, the condition here is that he does not know. He only came to know now. You know, when the property like switched hands like the fourth time, he came to know now. Then he can go back and say, well, I want to preempt here, I want to preempt here, I want to preempt here. That's his right. Then, now your condition, someone built on it, someone, you know, planted trees. ومتى أخذه وفيه غرس أو بناء للمشتري أعطاه الشفيع قيمته إلا أن يشاء المشتري قلعه من غير ضرر فيه. وإن كان فيه زرع أو ثمر باد فهو للمشتري مبقى إلى الحصاد أو الجذاذ. So if the preemptor claims the right and the right to preemption, and there are trees or a building on it that belong to the buyer, then the preemptor must compensate the buyer unless the buyer chooses to pull them, the trees, out without harm. If there are crops or fruits that are showing signs of fruition, they are kept for the buyer until the time of harvest or picking. Now, are we dealing with this buyer as a ghasib, unlawful, you know, appropriator? No, this buyer is a lawful buyer. So in this case, we're not forcing this buyer to basically pluck out the trees, demolish the building. If he was a ghasib, unlawful appropriator, we will force him, you know, you were not entitled. But now this was like a lawful buyer. So we're dealing with him differently now. What we will ask now, so the buyer already built a building. We will ask the preemptor, you just came to know about this 4 years after the fact. The guy already built a building. Take it at market value. take that building at market value or give up your preemption. Unless the buyer decides, let's say he planted trees, unless the buyer decides to move his trees, sometimes you could do this, without harm to the buyer. If the buyer, you know, figured that he can actually move his trees without harm, then he can move it, or move the building. They actually made room for this, because many times they built things with structures that are mobile structures, move the building. So it's not all kharasana, you know, concrete. So sometimes it was mobile structures. That's why they talk about, you know, if there is a masjid, for instance, and the people of the masjid wanted to build underneath the masjid, can we raise the masjid? You know, can we take the masjid and lift it up and put something underneath? Yes, in the Hanbali madhab or something. So the structures, the building structures were not always, you know, like, you know, even nowadays, some structures are mobile. So, but anyway, but if the buyer says, it will cause me harm to move the building, it will cause me harm to move the trees, then the preemptor has one of two options, to give up his preemption, or to take the structures on the land now for their market value, because that was a lawful buyer. And we understand that you did not know about the preemption, about the sale until much later. But again, at the same time, we can't cause that much harm to the lawful buyer.
Is the preemptor liable for the moving fees? If it costs him money to move the building or the...
The buyer can demand any damage or loss or expense or cost that will ensue from this. The buyer is protected. The structures that the buyer built or placed on this land, he had done this lawfully. Therefore, he is protected from harm. Okay, so you want to say that whoever co-owns a property, they must inform the person. Well, that is why we have all of this trouble, so that we encourage them to inform them. Because otherwise, you know, because everybody will be sort of in a better place if everybody is informed. But again, at the same time, you do want to go out and try to sell the property and get buyers and finalize contracts so that you could get the price that you want. Otherwise, if your partner preempts it before, you know, you sell, you know, if the partner tells you, how do you get the appropriate price? Because your partner now will be in control of the pricing. I want to put it on the market. I want to get buyers because I want to sell it for the best price. And then force it on my partner, force that price on my partner. Let us say I co-own this with you. You are my partner. Your estimation is that this is 8,000 and 8,000. I want to put it on the market, and I want to, let's say, sell it for 14,000. And then you ought to either give up your preemption or take it for 14,000. So I want things to proceed naturally, but then if you want to preempt, you can preempt. And again, at the same time, let us also not forget that the co-owner may be absent, may be in jail, And I do have a sincere interest in selling my share in the property. So I can't be also, you know, handcuffed until they come back. Because I co-own this.
But almost all the buyer will be scared to go into such contract.
At their own risk. They will buy at their own risk. If they know that that co-owner has the right of preemption, they know that the pre-owner has the right of preemption. Yes, they'll buy at their own risk. And they would be then interested in, to relieve themselves from that anxiety, reach out to the co-owner, if they can, and inform them that we're buying this. Do you have interest in it? Yes. Then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, said, so that is the trees and the buildings. What about the plants, the crops? If there are crops or fruit that are showing signs of fruition, they're kept for the buyer until the time of harvest or picking. So, you know, if there are crops, not trees, crops, and then the preemptor came now and said, you know, I take the land. He must leave the crops for the buyer because he was a lawful owner. When he was an owner, he was a lawful owner. He must leave the crops for the buyer until harvest. Finally, وإن اشترى شخصا وسيفا في عقد واحد فالشفيع يأخذ الشخص بحصته. When a third party buys a share of land and a sword or any other unconnected property in one contract, the preemptor in this case has the right to take the land only in accordance with its share of the full price. So let us say, you know, I give the example in the book. Let's say you sell, you know, one half of your backyard for 8,000 and your sword, which the value of it is 8,000. You don't sell it for 8,000. You sell one half of your property and a sword for 10,000. Then the preemptor will have the right to say, I will take it. Then we will have to value the two properties that you sold. He will not be forced to buy the sword. He will not even have the right to preempt the sale of the sword. But he will say, I will take it for 8,000 because that's the market value. That's the value of this piece of the backyard. That will bring us to the end of this chapter. So we will take 5 or 7 minutes and come back and do al-waqf or endowments, trusts, endowments.